Embiid has Neto. Yeah, he'll take him. Joel. Oh, what a slam back by Simmons! That's the way to turn garbage into gold.
NBA Strayer. There you go. That's right. It is NBA Strayer. It is Monday, May 24th. The start of a new week, even though we did a show yesterday. I love it. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, literally whoever else wants to pay me. That sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money here in Larry Armour Studios, keeping you completely up to date, giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA playoffs while repping Starry Bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously. We'll leave that to all the nerds. They love serious shit, don't they? Jesus. Quit it, nerds. Right! Playoffs started. This is day two of the first round's game ones. We did a show yesterday to wrap up the first day of game ones, which is pretty fun. We've had some absolute belters. It's been great. Eight awesome games, essentially. So today, Trae Young shushes MSG. Chris Paul got hurt in the playoffs again. Philly cooked Washington. The Grizz upset the Yaz. And we've got all that covered in the NBA Australia Game Wraps. We'll fang in some quick weekend winners and losers as well. Why not? There's a juicy slab of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night. And, of course, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There's Yeah Nas, the unpopular opinion of the day. And an Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. There's Australian Player Watch because the Aussies are actually in action today. And it's Monday. Let's fang in a bit of an Andrew Gaze Great Mum Reward for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence and preview tomorrow's two games, which will be pretty fun, and finish up with a deli review because why not? What else has he got to do? Nothing. That's what. Right. Episode 617 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better! Especially if you're Charles Barkley, busted sleeping during that Wizards-Sixers game today. But then, of course, on the flip side, Chuck busted Shaq sleeping during Knicks Hawks. Oh, look at this. You mean sometimes they're not paying attention to the game? Oh, is that funny? No. I'll talk about this later, but good on him. Hilarious. Hijinks. Whatever. But also, fucking come on, man. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. Daily Whipper. That might sound a bit serious. I'm not being serious. I
like to take my basketball somewhat seriously sometimes, and the way we approach it.
LeBron didn't get suspended. Obviously, we mentioned this on yesterday's show, how he went to a tequila launch with Michael B. Jordan and Drake, and apparently that's in breach of the protocol, the COVID protocols of the NBA, and oh, in a surprise twist, he didn't get suspended. Of course he didn't. But then it did sort of come out, the fact that it's like, oh, well, you know, to go to the event, you had to have proof of vaccination or, you know, produce a negative test from just the other day. And LeBron's out there still ducking the are you vaccinated question because what a dick. It's interesting when it comes up, this idea of the vaccination for LeBron, because Frank Vogel came out and said that the actual team themselves isn't above the 85% threshold of players vaccinated. Even though Dennis Schröder came out the other day and said he's the only one who hasn't, 15 to 17 would be the 85% threshold. It means there's two of them that haven't, and we've heard before that Dennis and LeBron were the two that hadn't. So, just saying, LeBron's like, hey man, I'm ducking this question, yeah, I won't go into that. And so just fucking say yes or no, LeBron, you sook, Jesus. And he's like, oh no, man, it's between me and my family. You know what happens when you hit that 85% of your entire team being vaccinated? You get to just be fucking chill and do, like, normal shit. So if you're fucking holding out, you're fucking up everybody else on your team's life, LeBron. Just a fucking heads up. Just so you know. No news on Chris Paul's shoulder from today. All LeBron's apparently broken arm. Jesus, the amount of sooking that went on in that Lakers Suns game was pretty next level. And the only other piece of news that came out today after yesterday's show is the midseason tournament's back on the agenda. Woj reporting today the NBA is super duper keen on talking about the midseason tournament with the teams and the NBA Players Association, etc. He pointed out they can't do it next year, but they want to try, you know, do the FA Cup mid-season tournament with their weird pool play with the regular season games that count towards the thing and then an elimination tournament between the eight. Look, I'm all on board with this sort of stuff. Get weird, get funky. But you got to do it in a smart way where you actually have the teams actually putting out, you know, their best players in an effort to win the fucking thing. So $1 million a player, that's kind of nice. Either way, look, come up with a good idea, then get it signed off. That's where we're going to be at, Adam. I'm always here for a phone call. As mentioned, I'm happy to take on the VP of Common Sense for the NBA role, as well as the NBL. Six-figure salary is all I need. Right. With that in mind, let's talk about playoffs. Let's do the game wraps. Game wraps, 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 game wraps. Game wraps. They are brought to you by DraftKings. Because guess what? The playoffs are here. That means your regular season fantasy is done, skis. And the playoffs are great for daily. So our boys from down under are battling out for the NBA title. And thanks to our friends at DraftKings, you can get on the action too. Take home the take on the competition and take home literally thousands in prizes. And if you're new to daily fantasy, no worries. It's super easy. Here's how it goes. You create your new DraftKings account, make your first time deposit, jump into a contest, pick your players, stay within the salary cap, sit back, watch your players climb the leaderboard. Boom! Win massive prizes if you're smart like me, Jimmy. To enter, all you need to do is click on the links on our socials, on our website, or go to dkng.co/NBA Australia with the NBA and S of NBA Australia capitalized. Boom. Chuck in those. Have a look. It's a bit of fun. I love daily. It's really, really good because you turn around the next day, you go, look, I'll have another shot. You can enter different contests with different lineups. It's awesome fun, so have a crack. With you, mate, Jimmy. Get right around DraftKings Australia. Right, today's games. Washington went to Philly and got beaten 125-118. Extremely fun, weird game. Because I tell you what, Tobias Harris, the never nude, gave Philly exactly what they needed. For the first time, just about, was that his like best game ever? Well, it's a playoff career high. Ends up with 37. But Washington came ready to fight for this one, which was a bit of a surprise. Embiid wasn't really quite dominating. Finishes with 30, but it was Tobias Harris keeping them afloat in that first half. It was absolutely bonkers. He had 28 points in the first half. The Sixers missed 14 of their 17 threes. Who are they? Brooklyn? But either way, super tight game. Beal and Rusty were in a bit of a flow. Look, they never really took control of the game, Washington, and you really felt like to like put the boot into the Sixers in that first half. So I rewatched. This one was at 3 a.m., so I've rewatched this, and it's like, here we go. There's a little, like, chances all the way through this game for the Wiz to get a run on, and they just never quite did. And Tobias Harris is the reason they didn't in the first half. 28 points and a half is absolutely crazy. And the classic call was at halftime, like, all right, he's got 28. Watch him finish with 29. Still, he had a few timely buckets because it was, like, Beal was really good in the third quarter. He had 17 in the quarter. It was just insane. But then there was a barrage of threes by Philly right at the end of the third that opened it up a bit. Where Tobias Harris hit the tying three. Seth hit his first three of the game, finally. Danny knocked the box of green, hit one, and then Steph Curry hit another one. He's pounding his chest. He's talking shit. It was great. It was 88-81 at that point. It's like, here they go. And Embiid was smashing in some free throws right at the end of that quarter. I think they ended up 99-93 after three. So they still had a nice little lead. They hung on to it throughout the fourth. Tobias went 1 of 7, but Embiid, Danny Green hit a three with about 4 minutes to go. That put them back up 9, I think, from memory. And they still didn't quite feel comfortable because Washington just, they're relentless. When you've got Rusty Westbrook on your team, you're relentless. But of course, the flip side is you have Rusty Westbrook on your team and he will cost you the game like he did with 37 seconds left, steps out of bounds, turns it over. He's getting chanted, fuck you, Westbrook, by the Philly fans while they're reviewing that call, which was pretty funny. And then he missed a three after Embiid turned it over. So Embiid was pretty good in that fourth quarter. They hold on. Philly get the win. Wiz, look, they shot 8 of 20 from 3, 55% from the floor, but they had 15 turnovers and didn't look great. Beal had 33. He went 13 of 23 from the floor. He was awesome, but he went 1 of 6 from 3. It's the classic Beal line where you're like, I feel like he's a better three-point shooter than he actually is. It's bizarre. 10 rebounds, 6 assists. Rusty had 16 points, 5 rebounds, 14 assists, but 6 turnovers and shot 7 of 17. Yeesh. Yeesh. 12 for Rui Hachimura and Alex, the Ukrainian stepladder Len. Latvian Ryan Anderson hit a couple of threes. He was very handy. He went 4 of 8 from downtown, but did absolutely sweet dick all else. 12 points for Daniel Gafford, looking the good. You love to see looking the goods. Looking good also was Robin Lopez, copping fouls everywhere in his 12 minutes. We had 6 points. Throwing in some jump hooks here and there. You love to see that. But the Wiz, this is the problem. Their depth really sort of took a beating in this one. And you kind of wish, like, one more scorer. This is what Bertans is being paid to be. If they had Thomas, not Kobe Bryant out there, maybe he gives them a little bit of extra from the big positions, but not quite enough there for the Wiz. They fall short. Tobias has 37, as mentioned. So it was 8 points in the second... 9 points in the second half? You love that. No, 8 points. No, 9 points. No, 8 points. No, 9 points. Whatever. 15 and 29, he shoots. Jimmy, how many did he score? 9. There you go. 37 points, though. He played a great game. It was awesome. All the Tobias Harris slander I've thrown out there, I stand by it, because then he will actually throw out a game like this, and you're like, holy shit, good on him. Let's see you do it more than once in a series, Tobias. Embiid had 30 points and 6 rebounds. He was really good. Went 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Big Simo Ben Simmons, 15 rebounds. I think he had 8 offensive rebounds. Why? What did they say? Cancel culture. 15 assists, but he had 6 points on 3 of 9 shooting. One of those made shots was this awesome putback dunk. But he went 0 of 6 from the free throw line and nearly cost the fucking team the win right down the stretch. Where he missed 2 free throws with, like, what, 40 seconds left? That actually kept the Wizards in it. Ugh, gross. Anyway, Danny Not the Boxer Green went 3 of 4 from downtown. He had 11. Georgie Boy Hill was very handy as well. Pretty smart pickup, because look, Shake, Milton, Corkmaz, fucking Furkan, Corkmaz stunk up the joint. 1 of 3 shooting for Shake, 0 of 3 for Furkan. So Georgie Boy Hill steps up. He has 11 points. Philly get the win. Bit of a stressor, but they did handle their business, so you love to see it. And it's also great to see those Philly fans back in full voice. Lakers, Phoenix. Phoenix win this one, 99-90. That was a bit of a smashing, wasn't it? Like, the Lakers never really got into it. Like, Chris Paul hurts his shoulder running into Cam Johnson after being kind of hint-hint half-shoved by LeBron. Right shoulder contusion. He goes off. Everyone's sad. LeBron's like, oh, my best friend, Chris, are you okay, man? Chris is like, fuck off, nerd. Goes off, comes back on. He could barely use his right arm. Couldn't shoot. Could barely dribble. It was a bit weird. And then hits a shot in the fourth quarter to really settle the Suns down. It was amazing. He is an absolute warrior. But at the same time, you're watching a lot of this going, you might be hurting the Suns by having him out there. Eesh. Because he's like running around stuff, barely able to hold on to the ball. You're a bit worried. They're going to call it a shoulder contusion. Who knows what it is? It looked really painful. And if Chris Paul can't like grip the ball, dribble properly, like, you know it's got to be painful. And we got a punch on. What was that? 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Like, after Chris Paul clears out LeBron and undercuts him for a foul off a free throw shot. On LeBron's own free throw shot, actually. There's a punch on because Cam Payne cleans up White Mamba and then in turn is cleaned up by Montrezl Harrell. Knocks him off his feet. Cam Payne basically just like gives out hip and shoulder to White Mamba, Alex Caruso. He goes flying. Trez just comes in out of nowhere and fucking axes Cam Payne. And then it's on for young and old. You love to see that. And that was like after CP3 hooked LeBron. LeBron then stumbled over into where the fight had been. It's like, oh, my shot is really sore. It's like, all right, you giant fucking crybaby, LeBron. But otherwise, this game was weird because the Lakers just couldn't hit a shot. They looked all out of sorts. Their offense was just stagnant. It was shitty. The ball movement was just not as crisp as you'd expect from a Lakers team. Literally, they threatened at the start of the second quarter. They got it down to 3. And then, bang. The Suns just never stopped. Just basically pouring dirt on them. It was bananas. They never led by less than seven the rest of the game. In the fourth quarter, Dennis Schroeder aimed German Rondo, hit a three to get it down to seven. It didn't matter. Bang. Booker answers. LeBron misses a lazy three. It was very lazy. And then there's a little bit of an arm wrestle the rest of the way. Then Ayton gets a tip in, and they never look back. That was all she wrote. The crowd hit a shot that was basically the ultimate dagger with like a minute and a half left. And you're like, how did he shake three? And of course, crowd is going to hit that. It makes no sense. No sense whatsoever. And that was the game. The Lakers just looked a real step slow, which is weird because we saw in the Grizzlies-Yaz game, it was the Yaz who looked a step slow and a bit rusty, whereas the Lakers are the team that just played the Warriors, at least in the play-in. The Suns have had like a little bit of a rest, and here we are, the Lakers looking all out of sorts. On offense, they were just never in a groove. The defense just looked really like non-communicative, and the Suns were sort of just tearing them up. It was weird. And despite all the help from the refs, I think the Lakers had shot, 17 free throws to the Suns' zero in the first half, and they went even harder in the third quarter. Didn't matter, because for the first time in 11 years, the Suns have won a playoff game. They just ran roughshod over the Lakers. Lakers never threatened. They went 7-26 from three, out-rebounded by 14, 47-33. LeBron ends up with 18 points on 6-13 shots. He has 10 assists, but even then, it didn't feel like he was really orchestrating too much. AD was horrible. 13 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists for him. That even makes it sound better than he was. He was Je Brutal, which I believe is French for the brutal. 5 of 16, Anthony. Anthony, what are you doing, mate? 13 points on 16 shots. Who are you, Julius Randle? Andre Drummond had 12 and 9, but just... he's a spud. Just get rid of him. German Rondo had 14 points, 3 dimes. He shot 5 of 7. It just wasn't enough. KCP went 2 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 7 from downtown for his 7 points. Kuzma was horrible as well. 19 minutes went 0 of 2 for 0 points and 3 rebounds. Trez had 12 and 3. Caruso had 12 points, 10 points and zeros the rest of the way and 4 fouls. And nothing else for the Lakers. Nothing. It's brutal. Like, if AD and LeBron are going to play like this, you need Dennis Schroeder to step up. You need Kuz or Trez to also sort of back him up off the bench. Nothing. The Suns' Booker in his first ever playoff game was awesome. 34 points, 13-26 from the floor, 3-7 from downtown, 8 assists. He did have 6 turnovers, but I mean, they basically had put the ball in his hand in the second half. Went, Chris can't dribble. So Book, bring us home. And he's like, oh, okay. But a great game for him. 8-0, 21-16, 10 of 11 from the floor. There were just moments where you're like, hang on a second, how are the Lakers not being able to deal with DeAndre Ayton? Jesus, here we go. We know that he's good, but at the same time, he's still raw, he's still not polished, and the Lakers should be able to eat him up, and they didn't. CP3 had 7 points, 8 assists before, without being able to shoot or dribble. Mikal Bridges had 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting the Cams. Johnson had 10 points. Payne had 5 on 8 shots before he got booted. But anyway, the homie, Dario Saric, had a 4-point little run. He was out there for a little bit longer than you'd expect, but no Frank the Tank. Seems like a good decision on the Suns' behalf. Torrey Craig was out there for a cameo at 3 minutes. Crowder, though, you love to see that. He goes, 0 of 7 from the floor, but hits the dagger right at the end. There you go. Suns win it. Up one zip. My pick for Lakers in 7. Still feel pretty good about that, but... anyway, here we go. Atlanta beat the Knicks 107-105. Wildly fun game. MSG was a rockin'. The Knicks, look, slow start. And they had one assist, I think, in the first quarter. They got it a bit, moving a bit more the rest of the game. But even then, look, I think this is the big problem with the Knicks in this game. With Randall and RJ really struggling to, knock in their shots, the ball didn't quite move fast enough or crisp enough to get them easier looks, better looks. Burks, meanwhile, was just like a happy little release valve. He was awesome. But the third quarter had the Knicks go up 7, which was awesome. RJ has like a massive slam to tie it up, nearly brought the house down. Then there's a D-Rose corner 3. But the big problem was for the Knicks, they just lost their shit right at the end of the third quarter. They let sweet Lou Williams drop in 5 points out of absolutely fucking nowhere to cut it from a 7-point game to a 2-point game going into the fourth quarter. And that was a huge opportunity, but like lost. Because the way the Knicks could have then come out into the fourth quarter, they could have put this game away. Instead, it didn't. It was just back and forth the entire way. It was lit. as they say. Burks was hitting everything. He and Quickley were like the only offense the Knicks had for big stretches. Then D-Rose would pop up now and again. But then the fourth just turns into Lou Will and Trey versus Burks. Randall hit a three at one point. The place nearly collapses. But either way, Atlanta always had an answer for stuff that the Knicks were doing. And it was great. You turn around, Lou will be hitting something. In like I think he had, what, six points early in the fourth. And we had a whole run of Trae Young in the middle of this one. In the last 7 minutes, Trae Young was absolutely fucking incredible. He either scored or assisted on every bucket bar one for the Hawks down the stretch. It was Trae getting the line. It was Burks answering with threes or free throws. RJ Barrett was in there doing some fun stuff here and there. But look, there's a couple of threes that RJ Barrett missed where you're like, look, I understand that he's a 40% three-point shooter. I'm also not entirely convinced I've ever seen him hit a three. It's fucking crazy. But Burks hits a three to give him the lead. Then there's a nice little elbow jumper to give him a three-point lead with 1 minute, 10 seconds left. And you're like, the Knicks might be able to pull this off. But Bogdan just goes back and smokes a three. Bogdan Bogdanovic hadn't played the world's greatest game. He'd been good. Burks misses a baseline jumper, which you expected to go in, and that's where it turned. Trey gets fouled. Atlanta go up two. D-Rose ties it up with a float with 9.8 seconds left. And then for some reason, Tibbs throws in Frankie Smokes. Frankie Ntilikina for his first run of the second half. He got out there at the very end of the third, the end of the second quarter. And basically, Trey's like, I'm going to go right. Everyone's like, he's going to go right. And Frankie Smokes like is like, oh, where is he going? Oh, shit, he's gone past me onto his right. Trey goes to his right. Gets past Frankie Smokes. No hassles, floats it up, it rolls in, bang, game winner, 0.9 seconds left. Knicks take a little bit of fucking round to get the ball into Randall. Randall, it's 0.9 seconds, Julius. You've basically got to catch the ball and put it up. He sort of caught the ball, turned, wrote, like, up, took a half step back and then threw it up, and he was too late anyway, misses it, game over. I'll tell you what, Knicks fans, it's the hope that kills ya. It's almost tough, though. Like, it's almost as though. Like, it's a tough scene. You can't survive your two best players shooting like shit in a playoff game, and here we are. Julius went at 15 points. He shot 6 of 24. Just not a great game. His shot selection wasn't bad. I do wonder if his new braids are just pulling on his brain a bit too tight. 12 boards, 4 assists. RJ Barrett had 14 points. He went 6 of 15. Gross as well. 1 of 6 from downtown. Only one assist. Alec Burks, though, 27. He was awesome. 9 of 13 shooting, 3 of 5 from downtown. D-Rose was really, really good. Gave him a little bit of something-something. 17, 5 and 5. That corner 3 that he hit was just mwah, kissing fingers emoji. Quickley had 10 points. Bullock, he was rubbish. 3 of 9 from the floor. 0 of 5 from downtown for Reggie Big 5 Bullock. Taj Gibson was big, though. Nerlens Noel left this with, like, he got his foot stepped on. Taj Gibson comes in, does admirable work down the stretch. Obi Toppin wasn't shocking. Ain't no stopping. He was kind of popping. He had a big dunk and a big three in his 12 minutes, but not quite enough, and he missed a three later. You're like, oh, that goes in. This game's probably over. But as a team, they went 10 of 30 from downtown, 44% shooting. Just look, their attack of the dribble, they're swinging from like one pick and roll to another. They're crowding Bogdan. That was some good shit, but some of their fucking reads on offense just weren't good enough. And I'm going to blame RJ and Randall for that. They probably should have won this game. You know, Randall just got a little bit lost because Burks was going off. Rose was playing pretty well. And it's like, yeah, Julius, but you'll be fine, mate. Nah, and he just wasn't. The Hawks, ice Trae Young, amazing. 32 points, 10 assists. He was great. He might pop up again later. They went 12 of 34 from downtown. Bogdan had 18 points. He went 4 of 9 from 3. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. Looked dangerous. 12 and 7 for him. Two blocks. Every time, though, Trae Young drives and kicks out the John Collins for a three. You're like, oh, shit, this is probably going to go in. It did twice, but missed the other ones. Clint Capela had 9 points and 13 boards. He dominated when he was out there. The problem was, as soon as Nerlens Noel wasn't out there, he couldn't really capitalize on it. It was pretty weird. He shot like shit in his old stomping grounds. He had 7 points on 3 of 11 shooting, but he did hit a big shot late where you're like, oh, classic Gallo. 1 of 7 from downtown as well. But this game was 100% saved by Lou Williams. The 5 straight at the end of the third quarter just really, really fucked over the Knicks. And I blame all this on Spike Lee talking shit as well. But look, the 6 points he had in the fourth quarter at the very start of it kept them completely afloat. and kept it completely tight. He had 13 points in all. Shoot 6 of 9.
Nice.
From the floor, 1-1 from downtown. Atlanta get the win. MSG was pumping. They got devastated right at the end by a Trae Young game winner. You love to see it. This series is going to be awesome. And then finally, Utah hosted the Grizzlies and got beat. 112-109, the 1 versus 8. Here we go. It was weird. Utah came out like the Clappers, had a big lead, up 14. And then the Grizzlies, who looked gassed and just fucking done. They're in altitude up there in Salt Lake City as well, don't forget. And then boom, in the second quarter, just going a 14-2 run. They go from down 14 to up. And they're up 6 at the end of the first half because Ja Morant was cooking. Dylan Brooks was just basically slowing down everybody. There was just enough from everywhere from the Grizz that it just started clicking. It was really, the shot selection of the Jazz was really, really wonky though in the first half. That really let the Grizzlies back into it because the Grizzlies just executed. And Ja Morant orchestrating everything is just a fucking sight to see now. I love it. They began to believe as well, the Grizz. Like, they went, wait a minute, they're going to miss these shots. We're in this. Off they went. 34% shooting from the Jazz in the first half. They went 4 of 21 from downtown as well. Brutal. 12 turnovers as well in that first half. Killed them. So they go from rusty and tired, the Grizzlies, or at least gassed and tired, to rusty and tired for the Jazz. It was weird. But still in the third, Memphis hit 11 of 13 shots, get their noses right up there. The Jazz, however, get a big run going. They get it back to 1. You're like, oh, it's inevitable. The Jazz, boom, off they go. But then Bogdanovich just basically killed any momentum they could have hoped. He had a pick 6 turnover, which was like just a, I'm going to shoot. Nah, they've stripped it. And then they score. And Clarkson misses like a million shots in the middle of that third quarter. And away they go, back into double figures for the Grizzlies. Dylan Brooks is absolutely torching it. The best part of that third quarter, though, was Desmond Bane, the rookie, hitting a 3 at the very end of the third quarter. Georges Niang gets a tech for talking shit. And then at the start of the fourth, Grayson Allen dunks on Rudy Gobert. And he's just out there just talking his shit, which is hilarious. Bojan, though, look, this gets amazing because all the way through the fourth quarter, Ja had an answer, Dylan Brooks had an answer, and it looked like the Grizz were going to roll to this. But then Bojan woke up and crushed it. He just started absolutely fucking smoking everything he touched. It was crazy. He's like, you know, me and your 10. After Conley hit a 3 to give them a sniff, Jonas got fouled. He misses one of the free throws. The lead's at 9. Bojan just starts fucking smoking threes. It's a 14-5 Utah run. They're right back in it. And then it's a 6-point game, 3.5 minutes left. There's a huge play by Ja, and Ja Morant was miraculous in this fourth quarter. Again, same as he was against the Warriors, because he'd penetrate, he'd either get a layup or he'd lay it off to, my name is Jonas Valanciunas, and Bojan, though, just kept fucking, like, every time they'd score, you're like, Ja Morant just got a nice layup. Bojan's like, I'm going to hit a 3. 3 still more than 2. Away they go. A weird scrappy play, though, from the Jazz gets it down to a 5-point game. Where they get an offensive rebound thanks to Derek Favors stepping up in Rudy Gobert's the stuff of that was absence. The ball pinballs around. It's a 4-point game after a Favors free throw as well. 1 minute left. Conley drops a 3 short. Ja drives again right at the hoop. You love to see it. Lays it in. There's a huge save, though, by Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal on a wide open layup the other way with 40 seconds left that might have actually just cost them the game. There's a foul by slow-mo Cole Anderson, though. 3-point foul. It's a 3-point game then. And, like, here you go. They foul Bojan with 6 seconds left because you can't make 3 free throws when you only have 2 shots. So it's a 1-point game, 6.4 seconds left. Dylan Brooks scores on the inbounds. Bojan launches a long 3, expects Cole Anderson to foul him. He doesn't. Misses. Game over. Grizzlies get the win. They just took the Jazz completely out of their game. Fuck their shit up. Jingles, look, when Jingles' assist numbers and Rudy Gobert's like field goal attempts are so fucking low, yeah, your game plan's been a bit ruined. Like, Conley was like, I'll just keep shooting it then. And it wasn't great. 22 points, 11 assists for Conley. Shot 6 of 18 and 3 of 11 from downtown. Bojan, 29 points all in the second half. He had 20 in the fourth quarter. It was incredible. Ends up 4 of 11 from downtown. Gobert has 11 and 15 with three blocks. He fouls out, but he only had four field goal attempts. I feel like Rudy should be doing a little bit more on offense. Just a heads up. Jingles has 11, 2, and 2. Royce O'Neal and Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, though, sank the Yaz. Royce goes 1 of 6. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson goes 5 of 16 with 4 turnovers. Georges Niang goes, 2 for 7 for his 7 points. Derek Favors has 12 and 11 with 4 blocks. Crushed it. Filling in. But it wasn't enough. The Grizz, they had 19 more field goal attempts. They went 45 of 100 to the 81 attempts, I think, of the Jazz. Ja Morant, 20 fucking 6 points. I believe his full name is Ja fucking Morant now. No screwing around. 26, 4, and 4. He was awesome. Dylan Moeff and Brooks, he had 31, 13 and 26 from the floor. He was great. You love to see that. 2 of 5 from downtown. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He was awesome today. Jonas Valanciunas, 15 and 13. Slow-mo Cole Anderson, 14 points and 6 steals. Whoa. Whoa. Savage. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 7 points on 8 shots. He was 1 of 5 from downtown. The one that he did hit was a big one in the fourth quarter, and it did give him a little bit more of a pep in his step, and he missed one later. But anyway, Boone had 8 points on 2 of 3 from 3. Good show, Boone. Grayson had 5 points on 1 of 2 from 3. Tyus Jones had 2 of 6 for 6. But Memphis get a big win. Unbelievable scenes. They're up 1-0. Now let's do a really quick weekend winners and losers, shall we?
Oh, my God. I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is me, Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me? There you go. In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland.
Many people killed. First weekend winner of the 2018 NBA draft. Tell you what, a lot of wins. DeAndre Ayton, Luka Doncic, Jaren Jackson Jr., Trae Young, Dante DiVincenzo. Kevin Huerta. Awesome. Michael Bridges. Good stuff. They absolutely crushed it, the 2018 draft class. I'm just saying. What's that? Four out of the top five got their wins in their first playoff games, essentially. Amazing stuff, though. That was really cool. 2019 draft. Sure. Good stuff. But the Grizzlies are weekend winners because they look legit. I love it. We'll talk about them a little bit later in Nas, but God damn, they were good today against the Jazz. The Blazers are weekend winners because they stole home court, and it's exactly what they needed to do to really rock Denver. I mean, we talked about that game in yesterday's show, but Denver, look, had Denver have stuck that game out, that Blazers game, in game one, you're like, all right, well, as good as the Blazers might be, Denver still have, like, institutional knowledge. They don't have Jam and Jamal Murray, but they can still find a way. The Blazers took that from them. That's huge. Dallas, same vibes. Also proved they're not afraid of the Clippers, even if Max Shakliaba, hello, was, like, complaining, going, no! They should have gotten the tech for looking at me after I got dunked on. Shut up, Maxi, you sook. The Suns are weekend winners, holding on with a one-armed CP3 is absolutely massive to beat the Lakers. They lose that game. CP3's not got a right arm all of a sudden. They're staring down a barrel. They hold on them, win that because of Booker and Ayton. Huge game. Huge win, massive. Trae Young! He's going to be public enemy number one for the Knicks. That will make him way more famous than literally anything else ever could have. He's a massive weekend winner. And also, he hit a game winner at MSG in his first ever playoff game. Not bad. The Hawks are obviously winners. Getting that game in MSG, obviously, look, makes their job a lot easier. Flips their home court advantage. But I think that's just going to be a knockdown, drag out fight that series. Doc Rivers got jokes. Love this. He said he couldn't believe there were only 10 to 11,000 people at that Sixers game today because it was so loud. I think we're counting like the Republicans. Bam! Nice one, Doc. And us are weekend winners because I'll tell you what, these last 2 days of basketball have been fucking off the chain and I love it. God, basketball's better when there's fans there, right? Also, these matchups are, I'll tell you what, all of them are very tasty. All 8 games had something. They had a little something. There was no fucking Miami versus Toronto this time around. This is why... Oh, I'll talk about this later. Warriors, Grizzlies, who cares? Grizzlies are a better team. I said that on yesterday's show. Yeah, they're a better, deeper team. They're going to give them more of a run. So here we go. What about weekend losers though, Jimmy?
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up.
Loser. Losers. The Clippers, what a bunch of losers. How about we lose some games so we can then lose to Dallas? Sucked in, dickheads. That's what you get when you throw it in the face of the basketball gods and duck the Lakers. I hope you get fucking rolled by Dallas. It's awesome. What a loser franchise. The Warriors are losers, obviously, because they lost to the Grizzlies. And no matter how many like times you want to spin it, it's not good for the Warriors to not be playing in the playoffs. Like, their young dudes could 100% benefit from being under that pressure. But it's like, oh, no, but this way we get, like, some more rest into Steph. It's like, yeah, 5 more games of rest, settle down, 2 more weeks. Jesus, that's not going to make the world a difference. Suns-Lakers are losers because now we're battling it out for who has it worse with the biggest fucking sooking in the world between LeBron and CP3. CP3's missing an arm. LeBron had his soul destroyed by being hooked by Chris Paul. It's just going to be a bloody sook fest from here on, and I fucking hate it. Ugh. Either way, that was the weird thing to come out of that game, right? It should have been like a big celebration of Phoenix defying the odds. They're the 2 seed. And beating the Lakers. But here it is. It's like CP3's fucked up. LeBron's having a sook. Ugh, gross. Celtics are weekend losers. That was a... Look, I'm messaging my buddy Boston Pat while this is all going on. During the first half, it's like, dude, the worm is going to turn. KD and Kyrie and Harden will start hitting shots and it's over. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. That was pretty demoralizing. Knicks fans, what did I tell you? It's the hope that kills you. I've got other Knicks fans in my life going, Jimmy, I never had hope. Nah, you did. You thought this time it'd be different. You've got Tibbs. You've got Randall. No one named John Starks. Boom. Off they go. Mike Conley, there's a weekend loser. How would he be feeling right now? He leaves the Grizzlies. Then they goes to the Jazz. They blow a 3-1 lead in his first year in the first round. Then he gets straight fucking killed.
So he got straight killed
by his old team in the 1-8 matchup. Who knows what's going to happen in that series, but Mike Conley's got to be sweating it. That's a tough one. All right, let's do a performance of today, the old NBA Australia approved performance of the day.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Tobias Harris is 37 points, amazing. 15 and 29 from the floor, 6 rebounds. Dylan Moet from Brooks, baby! 31, goes 13 and 26 from the floor. He was awesome. 2 of 5 from downtown. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Doesn't give a single solitary shit. He is the best. He's like, I will stare you in the eyes and shut down your best player, and also just, I'm going to cause absolute havoc on the offensive end as well. When he's on, it's awesome. When he's off, it's even still as fun because he doesn't care. But this one's going to go to Trae Young. His playoff debut hits a playoff game winner in Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. I see you've never met the MCG. But when you're in the zone and everyone's saying, fuck you, it got real quiet at the end. For me, I wanted to hear those fuck you chants again. Oh, Trae. I love the balls. I love them. 32 points, 10 assists, 7 rebounds, game winner in MSG. And as I mentioned, those last 7 minutes of that game, Trae either assisted or scored on every single one of their points bar a Bogdan Bogdanovic 3-pointer. He had 13 points and 3 assists in that stretch. Absolutely, in 7 minutes. He's also the second youngest player in NBA history. Oh, no, yeah, the second youngest player in NBA history to have 30 points, 10 assists, and 5 rebounds in his postseason debut. LeBron's the other one. Not bloody bad, Trae. Not bloody bad. Ice Trae. You'd love to see it. How'd you feel if you're the Knicks getting beaten by a kid who looks like he's wearing a weave and fucking someone drew on a Dick Van Dyke mustache on him? Anyway, Trae Young, killer. Tobias Harris, killer. Dylan Moet and Brooks, baby. All killer, no filler. I had to think about that for a second because I fucked it up on yesterday's show. Stupid Sunday shows. Oh, mate, no, mate, no. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 spud,
Spud of the Night. Look, a couple of big contenders for Spud of the Night. Big Simo, Ben Simmons, Box Hill Benny going 0-6 from the line was absolutely shocking and horrendous and really tough to watch. Ugh, but he was very good otherwise. It's the classic Ben Simmons experience. What are you doing on offense? Oh, but he's also passing really well and creating a whole bunch of good looks. What is he doing? Oh, his defense is awesome. Oh, good rebounding. Anyway, but the Spuds of the Night, this one's going to be Jordan Jeremy Clarkson going 5-16 and 0-8 from downtown. 14 points on 16 shots with 4 turnovers. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson, what are you doing? And Julius Randle today. Jesus. For a year where I've just done nothing but go, look, you're awesome. Apart from the part where I was like, hey, yeah, he's not going to be an all-star. I thought he'd get squeezed out. And then it turns out he turned it on, and everyone's like, yeah, he's an all-star. I'm like, yeah, so he is. 15 points, though, on 6 of 24 shots. Talk about playoff debuts. This was also Julius Randle's playoff debut, which is fucking crazy to think because he's been in the league for seemingly 87 years. But he hasn't. He's still pretty young. But 15 points on 6 of 24 shooting, 2 of 6 from downtown, 12 boards, 4 assists. Just not a good game, though. A couple of spud-worthy performances there. And I'll tell you what, the Lakers. Anthony Davis, what I just say? 13 points. Oh, geez. 5 of 16 shooting. Oh, look at my brow. It's funny. They're going to call me the brow because I have a unibrow. That's not a personality, Anthony. You're a dickhead. He was minus 18 in this game. That's by far a team worst. This is a team that also has Andre Drummond on it. So lots of spuds there for you. Who was old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Trae Young in New York out there shit-talking, shushing him. That was the best part. He hits the game winner and then gives the old shush can to the crowd. I loved it because we've got a villain that all of New York can hate. And that's going to be unreal because no one loves hating somebody more than the Knickerbockers of New York City. It's the only reason Reggie Miller was so fucking... Why does Reggie Miller have a job now? Because he and Spike Lee got into it because the Knicks fucking hated him. Also because he was pretty good at the time. But Trae Young, this is your moment, young man. You are definitely old mate, no mates in New York, and that is awesome for you. So live it up. Go hard. And I love that he's like, hey, they're all telling me to fuck off. Didn't hear that one eat the game winner. The balls, it's great. Amazing, 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 amazing. Pantsing of the night. RJ Barrett got Bogdanovich to the point where he might have to change his name to Bogdanovich because RJ Barrett got him that well. Mike Conley. Conley. What happened to him? No, Rudy got dunked on by Grayson Allen. Mike Conley had basically a walk around moment where he's like, oh, I've gone the wrong way. Jar just absolutely fucking shredded him. Campaign getting trucked by Montrez after trucking the Caruso was pretty funny. But this one, the pantsing of the night's got to be going to Georges Niang after Desmond Bane knocks a three right in his face and then talks shit. So how do you like that one, Georgie? That's the best. Georges Niang, you can't be getting shit talked by a rookie, mate. You got to start swinging to that point, going, show me some respect, dickhead. Bang! Let's give the old 1-2 Costa Zoo. You can't get shit talked by a rookie. Georges Niang. Jingles, come get your boy. Give him a talking to. Go, look, you can't be getting shit talked by a rookie. We can't let it happen. If he shit talks you, headbutt him.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
I want to give this one to... It's essentially a bit of a weird one, right? So better than Lonzo Ball today. You do have a couple of rookies here and there, but I don't feel like anyone really lit it up as much as old mate Emmanuel Quickley. He played 21 minutes, 4 of 7 from the floor, 2 of 2 from downtown. He had 10 points, 3 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 turnovers, and 4 fouls, but he was a plus 6. And the biggest thing about Quickley was that in that third quarter, well, in the second quarter as well, actually, right at the end of the second quarter, he and Burks just turned this game around. because the Knicks were just sort of looking a bit wallowy. Randall couldn't hit anything, and RJ was just missing shit. Alfred Payton was fucking horrible. And quickly sort of came on, gave him a little bit of something, and gave him a bit of fire. Gave him a little bit of fucking ass kickery. And it was weird. He couldn't buy a foul poor quickly, but I loved how poised he was for this game. There's a couple of bad fouls here and there, but he's a rookie. And either way, his 10 points are better than all of Lonzo Ball's completely combined playoff stats because, again, never been to the playoffs. So good job, Emmanuel Quickley. You are better than Lonzo Ball. Finally, we'll do an extra bonus Dickhead of the Weekend.
Dickhead of the Week!
And, easy one, kind of. LeBron having another fucking sook. The best bit of him getting hurt by CP3, it's like, oh, I got hooked by a Super 3 man, and a fight breaks out. After the fight dies down, LeBron stumbles over like he's been shot in a bar fight. Where the fight had been, where all the cameras are now very much focused on, and like hits the door, oh, my shoulder! Oh, Chris is, Chris snapped my arm off! It's like, what are you, are you doing this just to convince everyone that you're fucking hurt, LeBron? Seriously, has there been anyone so fucking big that has sooked so much in the NBA? It's now getting to a point where it's fucking laughable. And it's been like that for probably the last couple of years, right? It's like, come on. Fucking, we understand that you get fouled pretty hard. Everybody your size does. It sucks. But fucking hell, man. The sooking. Oh, the sooking. An extra bonus dick out of the weekend. The Clippers staring down Maxi Kleber after Kawhi dunked on him. Look, I love that. I love staring down somebody after you dunk on him. But also, if half your team is going to stare down Maxi Kleber, you got to win that game. You can't be fucking tough guys and then lose to a couple of blokes that look like the European Andrew G's. What's his name? Osher Gunsberg or whatever. That's a proper name. And they got smoked. So Clippers, blow it out your ass. You dickheads of the weekend. And LeBron, fucking quit your moaning and your sooking. Jesus. Grow a pair. Anyway, let's do some YNRs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some YNRs. They are brought to you by the DailyLiquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, it's playoff time, it's footy season, and you don't want to miss a second of it. So don't go to the Bottle-O, just go to the DailyLiquor.com, have a look at all their amazing booze selections, and they'll bring them to your door. It's the best! All their beers are incredible, the cocktails are great, the wines are unreal. All you got to do, go check it out. The packs are great. Bob's your uncle. You'll have an amazing selection of booze rocking up. And if you're banging the code STRAYA when you check out, you get a free six-pack of the amazing Dos Blocos XPA. The Dos X. You love it. What a great beer that is. So, all you have to do, it's a Melbourne metro area, same-day delivery if you order before noon. Go get around the dailyliquor.com. And if you spend 20 wing whams banging the code STRAYA, you get a free sixer. How good is that? That's so cheap. Ah, oh, it's so good. Anyway, go check it out. Cocktails, wine, beeros, boom. Be over 18, don't be a dickhead, and thank us later when you're drinking free beers. Right, yeah, nah, should the Lakers be worried? Yeah, nah. Nah, they lost game one of the first two rounds last year. But should they be a little worried, Jimmy? Yeah, they should be a little bit worried. Yeah, because AD and LeBron look shit. Right? They look shit. It's because A, they're both rusty and have barely fucking played in the last 2.5 months. But also, they've not played with each other or the rest of their fucking team. And they don't have the third guy to carry them through like you'll see with Brooklyn, right? Or even, for that matter, Milwaukee, where you've got Giannis, you've got Drew, and you've got Middleton. They kind of think that the idea of, like, Montrez and Dennis Schroeder, like, that combo should be enough. But it's not. Kuzma's not stepping up. They're now lucky that CP3 might have one arm that they get out of this series. But Jesus, otherwise, they're leaving a lot to be desired. You know? AD, I don't know what's wrong with him, but ugh. He is throwing up so many spud-worthy games that you'd never expect it from the AD that we've seen over the last 5 years. So, either way, tough scenes, but they'll be all right. They should be a little bit worried, though, if they're not clicking by game three, you know? All right, next one. Can the Grizz pull off a 1-8 upset, Jimmy? Yeah, nah! I'm still going to say nah, but the Jazz are a little bit wobbly, sans Donny Mitchell. And even when he comes back, that also becomes a weird shit of a time trying to acclimatize to him, right? And that's where you also run into more problems. And we're sort of seeing that with Conley. Conley comes back. Utah are just a little bit discombobulated again. So, look, there's now a bit of a chance that now that they've lost home court, the Grizz might be able to pull off another couple of shockers. Like, they're definitely not afraid, and that's why I love them. That's a team that gives zero fucks all the time, believes in themselves, believes in each other, believes in their coach. Like, they're a fucking team. It's great fun. And I love every second of it, so that's really cool. So, I don't think the Grizz can probably beat the Jazz in the long run, but I think they can definitely make that a series. Speaking of which, does Knicks Hawks go 7, Jimmy? Yeah, no! Ho-ho-ho! You better believe it. In Adam Silver's NBA, this is definitely going 7. A, you need to do something to fire up that Atlanta fan base. Because don't forget, like, Atlanta is a huge city. Huge. I've been there. It's massive. But they care about football and college football, sometimes the Braves, and, like, never the Hawks. So, you give them some more Trae Young fucking heroics in the playoffs, watch it go ballistic. So Adam Silver's going to be sitting there going, we've got the Knicks, we've got Trae Young in Atlanta. Let's fucking dance. This is definitely going 7. All right, I mentioned this one earlier. Shaq and Chuck falling asleep. Oh, is it funny that they clown on each other about it? Yeah, nah, yes, obviously. Because Charles Barkley and Shaq are inherently funny, which is great. Is it a bad fucking look for the NBA in general, though, to have two of your leader and analysts on the fucking opening weekend of the playoffs falling asleep during the first fucking games? Yeah, nah, yes! Is it too much to ask to have analysts that aren't fucking so apparently bored by the fucking games they're covering that they're literally falling asleep while they're meant to be watching the fucking games? I love Shaq and Chuck. Don't ever get me wrong. But do you really think this is the best way of, like, selling how exciting this weekend has been? It's like, oh, look, there's Chuck, he's falling asleep. Oh, look, here's Shaq over here, he's falling asleep as well. Who are you convincing that's a good idea? It's like, oh, well, don't we all just love naps? It's like, yeah, but these games are off the fucking hook. How about you just, like, break that down a little bit better than rather than spend fucking way more time clowning on each other about, oh, he fell asleep, man. Look at this guy. Old Captain Snooze over here. What's going on? Just get the fuck out of here. It's not some early April tank fest fucking snooze fest. It's one of the single most exciting opening, like, salvos of a first round of a playoffs, like, I can remember. It is awesome. Flip side. Unpopular opinion of the day. I don't give a flying fuck about ratings or anything to do with that, to be honest. So even with all that said, look, all I'm sort of trying to think about is the casual basketball fan who's like, oh, shit, I better watch some of this, and then watching the inside of the NBA bits, and it's like, oh, so they're falling asleep, so they don't think this is that exciting. What are we doing here? Whatever. I've got a big problem with all the ratings talk because I don't fucking care about ratings because this all popped off over the weekend as well, right? Like, oh, I can't believe the NBA let Steph Curry not make the playoffs. Oh, can you believe that the 8 seed didn't even make the playoffs, man? How dumb is that? I get it. Watching Steph is fun. But also, this Grizz team is going to be a way tougher out and is going to put up a way bigger fight than Golden State could have against the Jazz. Seriously. Like, they're deeper, they're more crazy, there's more fucking weird aspects to them than, like, watching Steph go for 46 and lose every game. I mean, what do you want? Like, who gives a shit about ratings? Do you want ratings or do you want good basketball, right? Like, and you can't say both in this aspect either, right? Because the Grizzlies are going to challenge the Jazz. The Warriors might have rated better, but once they went down 0-2, 0-3, like, who's fucking watching then? No, like, whatever. Like, we're fans. We don't work for the NBA. I don't own an NBA team. This might come as a shock. I don't. But also, like, the NBA is not at risk of folding. The TV stations are still going to keep paying for the fucking rights. Yeah, we don't get to watch Steph, but we would have only watched Steph for fucking 4 games anyway. I don't know who convinced people that ratings matter, but they fucking don't. Like, they're still going to be in NBA in 8 years' time. if the ratings are slightly down on last year or like 5% up on last year, just settle down this ratings talk. The Grizzlies are a better team than the Warriors. Deal with it. What about Outback Takeouts for today, Jimmy? It's Monday, and Outback, you know what that means? Oh, yeah. Kookaburra wings, only at Outback. I've been out the back with a cricket bat. Just looking in the trees when I hear that bang! Off they fly, and into the pot they go. For some delicious, delicious kookaburra wings, only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is, not only will the Trailblazers beat the Nuggets, they'll beat the Lakers as well, and reach the Western Conference Finals. Only at Outback. Whoa! I'm actually kind of on board with that. The way the Lakers are playing right now, who stops them if they get through the Suns? I feel like Portland could pretty much easily beat them. Yeah, just saying. Just saying. Right, let's take a quick break. Be back with Australian Player Watch right after this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff. And you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Let's talk about Noah, but what do Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian have in common? They've all got incredible experiences. They're all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned as well, because they're on Noble, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. Go check it out. The bloke from NASA, he talks about space. Chris Paul talks about the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. Hopefully it keeps his arm attached. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup as well. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So go get smart today. Download Knowable from your app store. Bang in the code STRAYA and get 20% off. Thank me later when you're super duper smart. Right. Australian Player Watch today. Box Hill Benny Ben Simmons versus The Wiz. We mentioned in the preview, he should eat. And he was great against Brad Beal. Played 38 minutes. He had 6 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists, 1 steal and a block. As mentioned, though, 3 of 9 from the floor and 0 of 6 from the stripe. He did go 0 of 1 from 3. Would have brought down the house if he had hit that one. But anyway, had a great putback slam. I mentioned that one earlier. It's going to be a fascinating series because the Wizards don't have anyone who can really stop Simmons. They really don't. If they had, you know, that weird combo of Danny Avdija and Rui Hachimura and maybe a couple of, you know, another wing, they might have a shot because between Simo and Tobias Harris and Danny Green, they just don't have the horses, Wiz. So Simo should be absolutely dominating. And look, 15 rebounds, 15 assists. He hits a couple more shots. He's got a triple-double, but he hits his free throws. He's got a triple-double. Either way, he'll be fine. Aussie Matty T made his return. Matisse Thybulle, 14 minutes, went 0 of 2 from the floor. Both of those were threes, so finished with 0 points. But true to form, in 14 minutes, he had 2 steals and 2 blocks. That's right. Your league leader in the guard position of steals and blocks crushed it, especially on a per-game basis. His blocks are just still through the fucking roof. Anyway, one assist as well there. Jingler Joe Ingles mentioned that one. It was a bit of a rough one in their loss to the Grizz. 11 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists in his 33 minutes. 4 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 7 from downtown. It was minus 14. And look, there were just big stretches of this game where the Jazz just looked completely wonky, discombobulated, and weirded out. And you did not expect that. Jingles missed a shot later on his way, like, he hits that. The Jazz are right back in it. Obviously, they fought right down to the end. He was right there with them, but yeah, tough sledding there for Jingles and Co. Right. Anyway, we'll have Greeny back as well on, Wednesday's show? Yeah, because they're not playing tomorrow, but either way. And that's it. Let's do an Andrew Gaze Graham Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. Andrew Gaze Graham Mumber. Clap it up. Clap it up. This one is going to go to Dylan Brooks. Look, I mentioned this earlier. Dylan Moeffin Brooks. What a weekend. He knocks out the Warriors and then turns around, absolutely bloody crushes the Jazz today. And that dude is not afraid of anybody. And that is the most Andrew Gazy Grey Mamba shit you'll ever see. But the thing is, there is never a moment when Dylan Brooks doesn't think he's not the best player on this floor. It is awesome. I'm absolutely loving every second of it. So against the Jazz today, he goes 13 of 26 from the floor, bang on 50%. 40% from three, he goes 2 of 5. 31 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks and 2 steals, only 1 turnover, and was just out there running rampant on defense, which is what I absolutely love. Love about Dylan Brooks is that he gives it to you on both ends. And it's not something you could have said about him essentially in the last couple of years. This year he sort of turned around. So against the Warriors the other day as well, he did the same sort of vibe, making Steph Curry work for his 39 points. He had 14 in that one, but damn, absolutely loving the Dylan Brooks experience. Now watch it next game. He'll shoot 28 times and have like 14 points. But still, right now, both ends of the floor. The Andrew Gaze Grand Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. He's played more defense already than Gaze ever did, but you'll love to see it. Dylan Brooks, you legend. Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in. This one is a Deli tweet because he's having a bit of a fun interaction, the old Deli, about some, check this out, Daily Fantasy. It's maybe a direct competitor, but either way, a nice little back and forth between he and Bogey about his Daily Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, part of a new class of fantasy sports apps, has raised $10 million from a celebrity-packed group of investors, including Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, NBA star Kevin Durant, and rappers Nas and Future, and very clearly Dally. So Dally tweets that out, Underdog Fantasy on fire and making big moves. Congrats, Joe Levine, Steak and Borg and team. Thumbs up emoji. And love to see that. But the best part was, that one got me checking out Dally's Twitter again. And I was like, oh, hang on a second. He had a great one this morning that popped up. Reading books to babies and kids is so important. Books emoji, thumbs up emoji. Never too early to start. That was retweeting the Cavs. It's never too soon to introduce your little one to the magic of books. Watch as Matthew Deli shares why he thinks reading to kids is so important. And learn more from the Cleveland Clinic about the benefits. And it's a nice little video about Deli and reading and kids and pictures of his kids. And it's just the best. I loved every second of it. Go check it out. And I wanted to give that a big hors d'oeuvre as well, because reading books to babies and kids, it's huge. I fucking read to the squid. We read to him so fucking much, it's ridiculous. It's a fucking punish a lot of the time, because he's like, hey, read this Paw Patrol, Dad. I'm like, no, fuck. But I'll tell you what, Thomas the Tank Engine, got a lot of time for that, because, you know, I've still got all my old books from when I was a squid, so good times there. But I love that one. Good one, Deli. Looking out for the kids. That's what he does. Right, let's do some game previews for tomorrow's game, shall we?
Game previews. Game previews.
Oh, thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. Did you see my namesake today?
Yes, he crushed it, didn't he, Bane? Today, we went 3 of 4 in our picks again. So that actually left us for the weekend 6 of 9. Nice, including the play-in. So across the playoffs so far, we have gone 6 of 8. We've gone 3 of 4 on both days so far with the spread. So we're doing pretty bloody well. The only one we missed out on today as well was the Knicks. And that came down to a Trae Young game winner. So I thought that one might have smashed. But I think we also were lucky enough with the Philly one that we had them at -6.5 from the other day. So maybe yesterday. And it popped out, I think, to -7.5 earlier today. But anyway, that one hit. So lucky. Right. Tomorrow's games. We have Miami at Milwaukee. 9:30 a.m. Eastern Australian time. We have Milwaukee. 4.5-point favorites. Again, I'm going to go with Miami. I think, look, the way Miami played against Milwaukee the other day, with Butts and Bam being absolutely horrible. Like, for most of the game, they sucked, and it was so tight all the way. I think Miami still have the answers for Milwaukee. I still think this series is going to be won by the Bucks. I still think it's going to be 1-6 by the Bucks. I think Miami get this one. If not, it's still another very close game. I'm going to take the Heat +4.5 again. And I think, look, the Bucks might pull this one out, win it by 3. But I think Miami cover.
if they don't win outright. So I'm going to take the Heat plus 4.5 at Milwaukee, 9:30 tomorrow. And the other game is Denver hosting Portland. The Nuggets are 1.5-point favorites against the Blazers after getting their absolute asses handed to them in game one. This game's at noon Eastern tomorrow. And I think I'm going to go Denver here, minus 1.5. I think they can scheme up just enough to maybe get Dame and CJ working a little bit harder. And you saw it in the first half with Joker and Michael Porter Jr. doing all the heavy lifting. Literally, if a couple of the other Nuggets step up, makes it a lot tougher on the Blazers. Look, I think the Blazers are a better team. I think Denver, though, I think Portland will be happy to come out of Denver with a split. And I think Denver will somehow bounce back and win this one. I think we get a massive, massive Joker game. You know that he's not going to take getting his ass handed to him by Nurk down the stretch of game one lightly. So I think we're going to see MVP Joker really step up and kick some ass, take some names. And Denver will eke out a win. They'll cover the 1.5. It'll be close. Portland will be right there thinking, oh shit, we nearly won two games in Denver. But I think Denver will walk away with the win. So give me Denver minus 1.5. So Miami plus 4.5, Denver minus 1.5 tomorrow. See how you go. Check it out. And remember, you can always play Daily Fantasy at DraftKings Australia through all the links on our website and socials. And that's it for today. Woo! We're back tomorrow to wrap all that up for you. We'll do a late show tomorrow, I believe, because it is Tuesday, which means I get the squid all day. So a later show tomorrow. But either way, make sure you're following NBA Show on Twitter, Face EIG. We're all over the socials all the time. Playoffs make it way more fun, too. Get around World Wrestling Straya. This week on YouTube, Adam from FWCI is out there crushing it. Bronson Reed, Adelaide native, Adelaidean, Laker fan. Bronson Reed won the North title, North American NXT title inside of a steel cage, which is absolutely gnarly. He's crushing that. We've got three Aussie title holders at the moment in WWE. So Adam is breaking all that down, talking about it on World Wrestling Australia. It is the goods. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, whatever podcast app you use. Rate and review it or I'll bash you. Go on, just do it now. Come on, I'm not twisting your arm too much. NBAAustralia.com/shop if you want to buy a hoodie. TheDailyLiquor.com. Use the code Straya, get a free sixer. Knowable.fyi or the Knowable app on your app store. 20% off with the code Straya. Also, big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. They're running out of time. It's out now. It's the best. Big thanks go to Joshua Delarantis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sect Jedi, Green, 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 Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Spotify, Apple Music. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. I'm going to go see Goldmines on Friday at Cherry. That'll be good. Can't wait. And we'll close out today's show with a brand new Deli review. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And how good are these playoffs? Woo! Playoffs! Later, Ozen!
The worst of these!
Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your mate Deli over here, just popping by from the latest pop culture view, eh? And I'll tell you what, look, pop culture basically goes all the way out to books as well, and I just want you to know that, like, reading for kids is real important as well and shit and all. I'll tell you what, though, I get a bit bloody bored, because season's done. I don't know what to do with myself. I've read all the books in the bloody house to the squid, like, 27 bloody million times. All I'm doing is hanging out with the squid, going to the pool, fucking watching the Wiggles over and over and over and shit. But either way, look, at least we've got the Olympics to look forward to in a bit too. So I'm out there every day throwing up some shots and shit out in the backyard, out in the driveway and shit. Apologising to the neighbours every time I break a window and everything. But anyway, look, I'll tell you, a bit more free time means a bit more time to watch the footy. And, oh, I'm a bit pissy about the Maggies, eh? Like, getting beat by a point, but though, oh, it just fucking sucks, mate. Like, especially when it's those flogs from Port who stole our colours and shit. Like, oh, I can't believe they beat us. Anyway, to get my mind off the footy this week, the missus, she's like, right, I've got you some tinnies. Sit down. Shut up. We're doing date night. We're going to watch a movie. The squid's in bed. I'm like, oh, fucking gnarly. Here we go. Just rug up on the couch. And then we watch that new Netflix movie with that Melissa McCarthy in it. What was it called? Thunder Force? That's what I used to call my old mate Plugger back home in Maribor, right? Thunder farts. Because that's what he used to do. Just the world's most thunderous fucking farts. It was like a thunder force coming out of his bumhole. But anyway,
I didn't really think this was going to be about farts or nothing, but like, I kind of hoped a little bit. It'd be pretty funny, but here we are. It was about superheroes or something. Like, you know, normal people being superheroes and shit. And I'm like, oh, yeah, give it a look. And it was fine. They're about, you know, 4 or 5 really good funny bits and shit. And otherwise, you're like, oh, this is a bit bloody predictable, isn't it? Like, I'm sitting here going, oh, I reckon they're the baddie. Like, if I'm doing that, you're fucking cooked, mate. So, yeah. I don't know, probably about 16 out of 10 deli ones, though, because it wasn't bad, man. It was, like, pretty fucking serviceable for a Sunday night date movie. So, there you go. Go check out Thunder Force. Tell us what yous reckon. And that's it. I'll catch us next week for another pop culture review. Later, fuckers. Deli out.